Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I hate to break it, you're not the same as anyone here. But we can take it, we're short or brown or round or we're queer. I've got a feeling, we are onto something here.
Live from King's Place in London, the Spotted Edge Shop presents Global Pillage. I'm your host, Deborah Francis-White. This is the comedy panel show, starring you, the Hive Mind.
And if you worry, trouble might be coming your way. In it together, I think that's what I heard the man say. I've got a feeling we're gonna be okay.
Deborah Francis-White, and this is Global Pillage, the comedy panel show in which we pillage the globe for cultural diversity, idiom and customs, and realise that human beings are the strangest monkeys of all. On my left, playing for, what is it?
It's shawarma connoisseurs.
Shawarma connoisseurs.
Okay. We thought we'd go with something that brings us together.
Okay. On my left, playing for shawarma connoisseurs, is Sadia Azmat and Radu Isaac. Can I ask, why are you shawarma connoisseurs?
They're all the rage in Romania and East
what
London.
What are?
Shawarmas.
The thing I miss most about home.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And on my right, playing for David Essex and Charlie Sheen, is Sarah Pascoe and Margaret Caborn-Smith. Why are you David Essex and Charlie Sheen?
Obvious, isn't it?
Because we look like them.
I don't fit you.
If you're listening at home, just imagine David Essex and
Charlie Sheen with these voices. Why are you really called David Essex and Charlie Sheen?
It's named after where we come from. So I come from Sheen and she comes from Essex.
Oh, cultural heritage.
Exotic, isn't it?
And can I ask, Sadia Azmat, why are you diverse?
I'm brown, and I was raised by Tupac and Biggie, and they're both dead.
An orphan. Radu Isaac, why are you diverse?
I'm Romanian, and I generally never felt like I fitted in anywhere.
Oh, Radu! You're diverse everywhere you go. I feel a bit like that. Margaret Caborn-Smith, why are you diverse?
Catholic and double-barreled.
Oh, yes.
That'll do, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Sarah Pascoe, why are you diverse?
I was raised by Princess Diana and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. and they're both dead or fictional.
Yeah, I was going to say. And you're also vegan.
Shut up. No one needs to know my food business.
I've heard you talk about it on stage.
You're always banging on about it.
I've seen you made a special video for the Vegan Society saying I should be vegan too.
Yeah, they're go having a secretly eat eggs. No one's looking.
Do you really?
No, please don't tell the vegans.
The Vegan Society are going to totally throw you out. And making sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed, please welcome Ned Sedgwick in Pedant's Corner. And on keyboard, the fantastically musical, wonderful Mark Hodge. Ned Sedgwick, why are you diverse?
I think I'm the only one here who's here because of nepotism, so that's right. Kind of good. That
what Ned helps. Is referring to there is when I met Ned, he was 3 years old and I was his nanny.
Yes.
So back then, he was actually my boss. But I've played the long game,
yeah.
And now he works for me. and he's getting 30 quid beer money for this episode. That's right. Absolutely. Because what Generation Y didn't see coming is we would leave nothing for them. And they would literally have to work for former domestic servants.
It's the weirdest form of grooming I've ever heard. Panel show grooming.
Yeah.
Okay, Ned Sedgwick, why? You're
diverse because you're here for nepotism, yes, nepotism reasons.
Apart from that, I am 1/8 Indian, as you can tell.
If you're listening at home, you can't tell. That's why everyone laughed.
And I went to boarding school, which, you know, really puts me in the 1%. And I feel quite marginalised a lot of the time. So, you know, go easy on me, guys.
And Mark Hodge, why are you diverse?
Well, I mean, I'm an avant-garde sexual genius. As you know, Deborah. Yeah.
Ned Sedgwick's not the only one here because of nepotism. I actually went to university with Mark Hodge. I mean, you're the kind of boy I would have had a crush on, actually, if you hadn't been so damn gay.
Well, that's the real diversity.
Yeah, that's the real diversity that counts. When you're trying to create a diverse panel. In every episode of Global Pillage, the Hive Mind writes a special theme tune. Mark.
So, I just need letters from A to G. I'm going to point over here first. What have you got?
C.
C. Good? Over here?
G.
Yes, that's a good start. And you, sir?
A.
That's all right. And one from this side, sorry.
F minor.
That's all right. Over here?
H.
Now, there is actually a letter H in German. Letter H in German is B flat.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to take that. That works.
Yes. Yay. The first round is weddings. All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first. So fingers on buzzers. At some Indian weddings, the bride's sister steals an item of clothing belonging to the groom. What do they steal and why? Shwama connoisseurs.
They steal shoes, and the reason why is to be annoying. No, because they basically want money for it.
They steal shoes and they ask for money?
Yeah, to get it back.
So the groom has to pay.
Why don't they just steal his wallet?
It's a really good point, actually. Okay, is that your final answer?
Yes, it's the final answer. I just want to add that in Romania, we steal the bride.
I will quickly point out that that might ruin a question later.
Yeah, it might, actually. Yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't happen in Romania.
Okay, over to you, David Essex and Charlie Sheehy.
Great, thank you for coming over to the experts.
Yeah.
Finally. So, Margaret.
What are we supposed to come up with an answer that isn't what's obviously the right answer has been given very confidently?
I'm only half Indian, so I might be wrong.
An extra fact around it.
And that extra fact, the shoes are always dark coloured.
Oh, that sounds very unlikely.
Sorry, I should have said they're sandals. They're sandals.
Your sandals.
Oh, God,
he's getting extra bloody points. This is.
Did you say you're half Indian, Sadia?
No, I'm really full Indian.
Oh, okay. That was a
really.
That was that a comforting line for the other team?
Wishful thinking.
It was me who's an 1/8 Indian. That's.
Oh, that's right. I've confused you and Sadia again.
Yeah.
Hive Mind, do you have an answer? There is more of a why than Sadia's given. So if you could add a why, that would be helpful. That gives away that Sadia is correct, obviously. So they can't run away.
They would run barefoot.
Bit dark.
They would run on hot coal.
So they can't run away. So the groom can't run away. Okay. Are you going to go with that, Hive Mind? Bars if yes. Okay. All right. So the correct answer is his shoes. And apparently it is to liven up the party. Because Indian weddings go on for days and days and days. And this is the fun part where he has to chase them around the marquee.
Oh, yeah.
In order to get them back.
Yeah.
So it's basically like a bit of pass the parcel to break up a 17-day wedding.
We could just do this at, like, just regular clubs. Just nightclubs.
Yeah. Well, you could bring that in.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could make that a fad.
I'd have to fell the man first to get his shoes, because he won't be expecting this.
Well, you've got surprise on your side, which they don't have at Indian weddings, because they must
They're
see it coming.
It, yeah.
Yeah, it's a regular Camden nightclub. You've definitely got surprise on your side. No one's going to look at you and think she's going to nick my shoes.
Yeah, and I'm going to march him to the cash point. You want to put your better get some that's money
more,
out.
That's more of a London custom. In the Maasai tribe in Kenya, what does the father of the bride do to his daughter to give her good luck? David Essex and Charlie Sheen.
The Maasai, they're the MBT guys, aren't they? Aren't they? Maasai barefoot technology, yeah. So probably like really good comfy shoes. It's always shoe-based. Is that the
comfy
answer?
Shoes? What, because Maasai are the comfy shoe people?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They make you feel like you're walking in sand. Is that actually makes it really, really hard. I don't know, they're really heavy and they make you look like a Mr. Man.
Where'd you get these from?
They're really good. Sports Direct.
I don't have Sports Direct on my card, I'll admit that. So, Sarah, is that your final answer?
I'm not going with that answer.
No, okay.
I feel like Margaret was making it up. No.
What does the bride do to...
answer.
Yes.
What the father does to give the daughter good luck is a magic spell. It's where they got the Cinderella story from. What he does is he does a spell and it brings all of the tiny animals out of the forest. The mice, the birds, the deer, and the swallows. And then they make her a wedding dress out of leaves. And then one of the birds poops on her right shoulder. It has to be right shoulder, and that means good luck and she'll never die.
Amazing. Now, that is the right answer. it isn't. Shawarma connoisseurs, what do you have?
Maybe go to the other girls in the tribe and scare them away so she would be the only one and she would get the richest dude.
She's getting mad. At this point, she's actually... Okay. She's managed to get a dude at this point. The dude is attained already.
Okay, then she's lucky.
She's already lucky. He doesn't need to do anything.
He just drinks a lot.
Okay, Sadie, you're happy to go along with that?
I was thinking... I like the spell idea, but not so,
not so complicated, not so detailed. Yeah. Okay, hive mind. What does the father of the bride do to his daughter to give her luck on her wedding day?
I've got another idea if you want to have my idea. I'm now thinking we on her feet. if you want
it's
to have
not a jellyfish sting. Chilblains.
Yeah, just something.
He makes her a pair of gloves after the foreskins of her former suitors.
Really lucky.
That's deeply done. Deeply done.
I mean, this is some astonishing answers here.
Okay. How many lovers would she have had to have had to get a pair of gloves?
Oh, my God, I was thinking that. It's a lot of foreskins, yeah. I mean, 10 rings, maybe.
Okay, audience, any suggestions?
A hearty handshake.
A hearty handshake. Buzz, if you're happy to go along with that. The correct answer is he spits on her.
Oh my God, that is quite like the piss answer.
Yeah,
It's a little piss.
It's a spit, if not simple mouth piss.
Okay, so Ned, could you elaborate on this, please, that he spits on her?
Well, it's a traditional Maasai thing. When you greet someone, you spit. And actually, it's quite... Western cultures are quite rare in finding spitting so disgusting. Most of Asia, it's not that big a deal. People kind of spit on the floor. It's not... Every culture has a different idea about spitting, and it's a peculiar one, anthropologically.
So is it, in fact, we're just incredibly fussy?
Yes.
So it's like if you were in a culture where they thought sneezing was the grossest thing in the world, and you just sort of, were sitting on a bus and you had a sneeze, and everyone went,
well,
like that.
In the 19th century, the Japanese found absolutely disgusting handkerchiefs.
Oh, really?
They have all the snot in them, and they're like, they keep all the snot on a piece of, and put it back in their pocket.
Yeah, that it is gross,
worst thing in the world.
What did they do, though, if they had a cold?
They have less phlegm because they don't eat dairy.
Ooh.
Oh. So maybe...
See, always on about the veganism.
Thank you, Sarah, for that.
Thank you. Okay, the next question is, why do Romanian groomsmen sometimes dress up as terrorists for part of the wedding? David Essex and Charlie Sheen. Oh, Shawarma connoisseurs, do you have an answer?
I don't think they dressed up as terrorists. That only became a thing like 30 years ago. How can it be a tradition?
They're linked to Boko Haram.
I'm going to contest the whole question. We're not allowed to mention Romania.
We sometimes dress up as terrorists. And I've got some Daily Mail videos that I can show you. I do not read the Daily Mail, apart from for research.
That's just a coincidence that they look like terrorists, but it's generally...
We don't have time for a YouTube clip.
We do have time. This is Pedant's Corner, and I'm a pedant.
Hive Mind, do you want to answer this? Why do Romanian grooms sometimes dress up as terrorists, allegedly, as part of the wedding? Sometimes, why?
To steal the bride.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that our answer?
Yes, it is.
Sarah was just very hyped up.
The answer is, in fact, yes, they are going to kidnap the bride. The bride is kidnapped, and then the groom has to pay to have her given back.
That's totally true, but they don't dress up as terrorists.
Ned has
a normal dress.
Somebody clearly has.
I was in Bucharest 3 weeks ago. Everyone was running around getting married and dressed as terrorists.
What do terrorists dress as?
What is lovely though is there's a place where they take all the brides. So all the brides party together. So when the brides are dropped off at this location, they're all having this amazing party because they're all from different weddings, obviously. They're part of the joke.
But he doesn't come to get you, and you're the last person left.
Like Pete.
Everyone's left the ABBA disco.
No, so what actually happens? They are taken to the nightclubs because there is no other place open at that hour. But usually the brides kind of ignore each other because they want to feel special and they don't want to acknowledge that somebody else is getting married.
I think we should stop having people who are from the country the questions are from, because...
Not fair.
And it's the end of the round!
What's going on? The Hive Mind with an impressive 10 points.
Yay!
And then the Shawarma Connoisseurs and David Essex and Charlie Sheen are joint on top with 15 points.
A rare time when the teams are ahead of the Hive Mind.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Next round is everyone's favourite round.
Idioms!
So, teams, what is the meaning of this foreign phrase which we have literally translated into English, fingers on buzzers? What animal would I be talking about if I said a short red cow in Welsh? Shwama connoisseurs.
Could you repeat it? I'm really
sorry.
Short red cow. If you refer to an animal as a short red cow, you would be...
Fox.
David Essex and Charlie Sheen.
I was in Welsh.
Yes, in Wales they say... Oh, there's a short red cow.
They've said fox. That's what I was going to say. It's like that's a different thing. That's like a cow. Small.
Colin Jackson.
Colin Jackson.
You're going with Colin Jackson. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Colin Jackson and a fox. Is a fox your final answer?
Maybe chicken, because you can eat the cow and the chicken.
A chicken is a short red cow.
Yeah.
Have you seen many chickens, Roger?
It's shorter than a cow. I've seen red chickens.
Okay, all right. Hive Mind, short red cow, what is it?
Corgi.
A corgi. Corgi. Hive Mind, are you happy to go with that? Buzz, if yes? Okay, the correct answer is ladybird. A ladybird is a short red cow.
How is it like a cow at all?
I mean, it's a very short red cow, I'll give you that. I mean, it's extremely short. It's extremely short. In Germany, they say, don't make a murderer's vault of your heart. What do they mean? Oh, shawarma connoisseurs.
Don't put out on the first date.
Don't put out on the first date. David Essex and Charlie Sheen?
Don't keep corpses in there.
Don't keep corpses in where?
Your heart!
Don't keep a corpse in your heart.
Yeah, like a murderer's lair.
It's a good tip.
Yeah, it's a sort of literal translation of that idiom almost. Don't
repress things.
Don't repress things, okay? Audience, hive mind, what do you think it is?
Don't be jealous.
Don't be jealous.
Don't hold grudges.
Don't hold grudges. Okay, audience, you're
going to go... This feels like a school assembly now.
Don't be jealous. Don't hold grudges. Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? So, audience, are you going to go with don't hold grudges, Buzz? Or don't be jealous? Okay, audience have gone with don't be jealous. It is, in fact, say what you mean. Say what you mean, which I think is quite similar to don't suppress things. Yeah. So I think that's some points for David Essex and Charlie Sheen. It is not, Sadia, don't put out on a first date.
But also
okay,
if
I will.
If you're not going to put out on the first date, it means say what you mean. And you're saying that I'm not going to put out on the first date.
I love your logic.
That's honesty.
Nice try.
A clever bit of rhetoric, Radu, but one that will earn you no points. Okay, in Burma, they say you have diarrhea and you drink lentil soup. What does that mean?
You're stupid and you're making things worse for yourself.
What you're
putting in your mouth looks like what's coming out of your bum, you idiot.
You're stupid.
I think you should have stopped halfway through that. I thought you were doing really well.
You're stupid and you're making things worse for yourself. Okay, shawarma connoisseurs.
I'm going with don't put out on the first date.
Not if you've got diarrhea, certainly.
Exactly.
It's not worse.
Okay, hive mind, what does it mean? You have diarrhea and drink lentil soup.
Does it mean in one ear, out the other?
In one ear and out the other. Oh, the hive mind sounded like they were going to go with that, are you? Okay, in fact, it means you have bitten off more than you can chew. Which I think is quite similar to you've made things worse for yourself. What do you think, Ned Sedgwick?
I think we're giving quite a few points for quite similar. I was generous last time. Yeah. My generosity is stretched as far as it will go. I'm sorry.
And it's the end of the round.
That is Ned Sedgwick with the scores.
The Hive Mind enjoying themselves with 10 points. Shawarma connoisseurs at second with 20 points. Ooh. And David Essex and Charlie Sheen where they should be at the top with 35 points.
Yeah. Winning! The next round is the teams round, where the teams offer each other questions from their own cultures. David Essex and Charlie Sheen, do you have a question for shawarma connoisseurs?
Do you have one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What do some Catholics believe happened to Jesus' foreskin?
What do some Catholics believe happened to Jesus' foreskin?
Gloves.
Like all foreskins.
Someone in the hive mind there said gloves. They were made into gloves. Radu, are you Catholic?
And Orthodox? I don't know how close that is.
It's pretty close.
So it's not close enough for Ned to give points.
So it grew back like a snake?
I love your mind, Radu.
Wow, yes.
Grew back like a snake. In a miracle, Jesus' foreskin grew back. Sadia?
I think it fell off when he was walking on water.
Nice.
It fell off while he was walking on water. Okay, well, Jews are traditionally circumcised before they walk on water. But
I haven't been with one, so I wouldn't know.
No, fair enough.
You should try them, they're great.
Yes.
Well, I think it could be a carpentry accident. And that's where we got the tradition from, is it?
A carpentry accident.
It seems like it feels so hygienic now.
Okay, that's your own team's question, so you get no points if it's right. But is it right, Margaret?
No, it isn't right. What's Ned, were you Googling?
I was.
Just then. Did it come up? Yes.
So, but
well, the one that I know is it, of course, became one of the rings of Saturn.
I could have guessed for a million years and never would have come up with that.
I know.
It became one of the rings of Saturn.
He was the Messiah, if that was the size of his penis.
Just the foreskin.
Shawarma connoisseurs, do you have a question for the hive mind?
In Romania, when somebody says, made the neighbor's goat die too. What do they mean?
If in Romania they say, may your neighbor's goat die too, what do you mean?
They hate their neighbor.
They hate their neighbor.
They hate their neighbor's goat.
They hate the neighbour's goat.
It's pretty literal. Yeah.
Okay, so you hate your neighbour, Buzznow. Hate, you hate neighbour's goat, Buzznow. Okay, they're going with hate your neighbour's goat.
No, that's false.
Is it like a curse on everything?
Basically, it means if I'm having bad luck, may the neighbour have bad luck also.
Oh. It's
even out the playing field.
Yeah. Right. Wow, the happiness gap. So if I'm having a bad day on Facebook, I hope everyone does. I don't want to see any happy pictures of your holiday. Okay, Hive Mind, do you have a question for David Essex and Charlie Sheen?
In Czech Republic, if you're a young... not married woman, what happens to you during Easter?
Okay, so much
chocolate.
No! No!
Can you get beaten with twigs?
Yeah.
Look, she's getting a coughing fit,
but it's true.
Basically, all the boys go around to different houses and they whip you on the bum with willow canes.
So it's 50 Shades of Grey. They whip you with canes.
After they whip you, you have to give them eggs and sweets or alcohol. Oh,
they whip you and you have to give them eggs
you
and
have
sweets?
To, yeah, you have to...
This is a terrible situation. Is there a charity trying to stamp this out?
We need to start one. Willow canes for women.
Okay. And it's the end of the round.
Ned Sedgwick with the scores.
The Hive Mind still enjoying themselves with 10 points. Shawarma Connoisseurs enjoying themselves even more with 20 points. Clap, and David please. Essex and Charlie Sheen having a fantastic time with 45 points. Yeah.
The next round is our World War II sexting round. During World War II, sweethearts sending each other telegrams would use abbreviations so as to disguise the true nature of their communication. So, for example, Norwich on the back of a letter or a telegram meant knickers off, ready when I come home. What did Burma mean?
I actually...
Bring your wriggly mad ass.
The World War II people did not spell your with a U.
Shawarma connoisseurs?
I'm not that good at spelling.
You can use your pen and paper. Hive Mind?
Countdown.
Hive Mind, do you have an answer?
I actually know this because it's in an Alan Bennett sketch.
Oh, really? Mm. Well, we'll come to you last then.
Working it out like Bottoms up, ready.
More anal. Great. Hive Mind, are you happy to go with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Margaret?
It's very like that, but it's... be upstairs, ready, my angel, which is the nicer version. It's always anal. Any A that comes up, the modern audience thinks it's anal.
I've actually got be undressed, ready, my angel. Ned Sedgwick, are you happy to accept that?
I am happy to accept that.
The final round is the Smash the Patriarchy round. In this round, we have just one question about a minority group who successfully rose up and managed to overcome their hardships and throw off the yoke of oppression, also known as the Stick It to the Man round. We only have one question in this round because it doesn't happen very often. This round may only contain one question, but it's worth double points, so it's your opportunity to stick it to the man, unless you're in the lead, and then you are the man. The question is, who coined the term suffragette? Yes.
I think it's a male politician.
Shawarma connoisseurs, yeah. Do you have an answer?
Can you repeat the term and maybe explain it?
Okay, so the suffragettes were women who were fighting for the vote in the early 20th century.
Okay.
They started probably just late 1800s, but mostly they were early 20th century
I really thought jet was referring to airplanes and somehow to kamikaze pilots.
No, they're not the suffragettes. They're not like a 60s doo-wop band, no.
My guess. I want to guess George Bernard Shaw.
George Bernard Shaw. Okay, we've got George Bernard Shaw. Okay, Hive Mind.
So, it's been a while since my history A-level, but I think it was the Daily Mail. It's definitely a paper.
It was the Daily Mail.
Yay!
The Daily Mail. It was...
But was it George Bernard Shaw writing for the Daily Mail?
No, it wasn't. It was Charles E. Hands. I bet he got some nicknames at school. Hey, old Handy Hands, old Charlie Hands, writing in the Daily Mail, and it was meant as a pejorative term. They were called the suffragists. And he was like, oh, suffragettes. It's a bit like female comedian or lady doctor or lawyerette.
Or mermaid.
So it's so pejorative, isn't it, mermaid?
Oh,
so offensive.
Same job.
Same thing. Can mermaids swim? Are they any good underwater? They're not as good as mermen. They're always getting it.
Mermen don't have to put shells over their boobs.
Yeah. Yeah, so-called siren. I wouldn't pay to hear a sing. It was actually... it was, in fact, in May 1906, and the suffragettes tried to reclaim the term by repronouncing it as the suffragettes, saying, we're going to suffragette the vote. It did not take off.
Branding meeting.
Yeah. Emmeline Pankhurst was so pleased when she came up with it, though, I bet. And it's the end of the show!
Ned Sedgwick with the scores.
Now, people who watched Eurovision 2016 will know that right at the end, Ukraine swung from the air back and won it. Something like that may have happened with this.
Oh! Because it's double points if you know the patriarchy
was, I
question.
Actually made it quintuple points.
Okay.
Even more exciting than it already was.
Wow. You're the man. Do you know that? You are the man.
That's why I'm here. I'm representing the worst about humanity. So, with no further ado, shawarma connoisseurs with an unfortunate 20 points.
Oh, they're lovely points, though, all of them.
We had fun playing the game.
I particularly enjoyed our argument about Romania. That was fun for me. Then, second place with 45 points.
This is bullshit.
Yeah. Fix.
And joint first place.
Oh.
With 45 points, it's David Essex and Charlie Sheen. Oh. And the
so it's congratulations to the winners, commiserations to the losers. Please give it up for Radu Isaac, Sadia Asmat on Shawarma Connoisseurs, and Margaret Claiborne-Smith and Sarah Pascoe on David Essex and Charlie Sheen, Ned Sedgwick and Pennant's Corner, Mark Hutch on keyboards. I've been Deborah Frances White. Good night. You have been listening to Noble Pillage, hosted and created by Deborah Frances White. The questions are set by Ned Sedgwick. Music by Mark Hodge. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The producer for the Spontaneous Shop was Tom Selinsky. Thanks to Zoe Metter and everyone at King's Place. For more information about this and other episodes, please visit globalpillage.net. And you may also like to listen to guiltyfeminist.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.